Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to us from God, our Heavenly Father, and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the years, as I've looked at some of the hymns and the songs, I thought it was interesting to look who wrote them. And I can remember going to a song concert in North Scottsdale. This is probably back in the mid-90s, where John W. Peterson was present, and to sing songs that he wrote. And this is one of them that I can, and Sharon and I were, when Sue chose the songs yesterday, we were looking at it, remembering how we sang this song when he was in the front row. How many times we think about those who have written the songs, especially the ones of ancient times, but there are still even writers today who reflect of the gospel message in song and in verse. I was asked by a pastor, both pastors Rod Johnson and Earl Carla, who I talked to this past week as well, to greet the church here. So be greeted from them, as many of us have long-term relationships with both as followers of Jesus Christ. The epistle text this morning on the church calendar is found in Ephesians chapter 6. As Paul concludes his letter to the church in Ephesus, verses 10 through 20 are for our meditation this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds or in chains, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. The letter to the Ephesians is really put into two pieces. And this, as he concludes his letter to the church in Ephesus, focuses on the practice of the Christian. So the first piece of the letter to the Ephesians is the position of the Christian, or the position of the believer. And second of all, he talks about how one is to put, as a result of this position, then to put in practice our life and our walk, and how we conduct ourselves throughout the course of our lives. Building the body of Christ in truth and calling us out of the world to be His, to be marked with the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, to carry it throughout our lives, and how we treat others and how we conduct and execute our lives throughout the course of our journey here. He is the head. Colossians, letter to Colossae, talks about the headship of the person of Jesus Christ. Ephesians talks of the body of Jesus Christ and how we are to be in our conduct and our treatment of one another. You know, in a couple months we will be thinking about the Reformation. The month of October speaks of the Reformation of the church, where in many respects the church had lost its basis, was drifting from that which had been defined as the course in Scripture. And how the reformers of that time had thought it important to return the church to the truths of that are found in the Word, the person of Jesus Christ. See, the Word is synonymous with the person of Jesus Christ, there is really this linkage or this binding of one to the other. And Jesus Christ is synonymous with the Word, and so they're used interchangeably, especially in the Gospel of John. And so Paul is picturing for the reader and for the hearer. Remember, the Word was read in that time. It wasn't written so they could read it, but it was read or spoken to the hearer. The printing press was really not in vogue or had found great practice until Gutenberg, just prior to the Reformation, was slamming out the text and the Word, and people could then sit and read what was previously simply heard by those who read it and heard it. So if you think about it, it's a situation ripe for error. How things can somehow get subtly changed, and there is not that consistency. And so, we hear the Word spoken, we can think, that doesn't add up with what I read here. We're encouraged to read the Word, and we're encouraged to say, does this stand the test of what's being said and what being heard? And so he wants us in verse 10 to understand that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not our own capabilities, not our own way of thinking, but in the ways of the Lord. How the believer is to face the battle. Where the believer is to stand. How we are to stand. How we are to deal with the conflict. Who is the foe? He defines that for us. The problem is sometimes those things which the world would bring to us will come even within a body of Christ or a church and cause conflict and cause dissension and cause problems. Harmony and tranquility is very important. Peace within a family. Peace within relationships is to be sought out. Peace within husband and wife, within children and parental relationships is a positive attribute that we're all to seek after. And so he's given all these previous instructions. We can read it for ourselves in chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 about responsibility between husbands and wives, responsibility between parents and children, responsibilities within the church between believers. And so then he begins verse 10 with the word finally. Now we're to take all of this and put it together. Here's a picture I want you to leave with. Something that you can relate to. Something that you see around you in the garrisons of the Roman soldiers that are protecting and maintaining the peace of the Roman Empire of that time. Think of the great empires of this world that have preceded even what we're seeing as being the superpower today. And superpowers are oftentimes given the responsibility for more economic prosperity and I guess many would call it the leveling of the playing field, providing for the needs that there are across the world. And, do you realize, it was told me that the problem with superpower status is that when they become responsible for economic ills and problems across the world, that really is a downfall because they become a debtor nation before they succumb to the next one that will follow. And that's true. If you think about the Roman Empire, they became responsible for taking care of all of these places and economic hardship and debt became overwhelming, and there were also problems of morality clearly that were part of the Roman Empire. But you think about Spain and you think about the what happened with England and how they spread their resources so thin that they succumb to economic problems in trying to take care of something that is really more widespread than they should. But he wants the believers in Ephesus and the ones who read it then, and we don't relate to as much as they did, but to have this picture in their mind of what they were going to see and what they were going to deal with and what resources they had to face the battle and to deal with the foe. So finally, after instruction and all these other aspects of our position, here is the situation. The life of the believer, the new self, is a person that is found worthy in the person of Jesus Christ. not worthy in self, but worthy in Him and what God has done for us. That's really the emphasis. It comes to from outside of us, not something we generate internally. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, His capability. The assets He gives to us, the resources that He provides for us. And put on this whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a spiritual battle that we all know is a reality. One of the places when we think of evil and depravity is what took place in Salem, Massachusetts during the early years of the population of this continent. How witchcraft was openly practiced, very much against that which God would want from His people. In fact, there was examples in the Old Testament, there still are written for us to read, of how there were those who practiced that in contrast to seeking out God's will and the voice of the prophet or the prophets of that time, and how we and even in our time are to put on this whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against those places of spiritual darkness. And so in Palestine and Ephesus and Colossae and Philippi and Thessalonica and all of those communities or those cities, those metropolitan areas, Corinth, Rome, where Paul brought the gospel message, they saw the warriors, the garrisons, the ones who went out to do battle to protect the Roman Empire of that time. And so he makes this analogy, this comparison that they could visually see. And, you know, in vacation Bible school or in Sunday school, we'll see these pictures of the armor that the soldier of that time went out into battle with. The armor today is very different. Seeing in online or, you know, on the evening news, the pictures of our soldiers doing battle in Afghanistan and Iraq, the modern weaponry that is used to go into battle against the enemy, very different. And so maybe the pictures we would have today might be somewhat different from the picture here, but nevertheless, there are resources that our warriors have at their disposal to win. A great portion of my career has been working with the Air Force and the tools that the Air Force and the Navy need today to maintain the battle and to maintain the superiority that we have in the air. I can think back in the waning days of the Cold War how they would bring these engines from MiGs that were had been captured or had failed in battle, and they were torn apart to look at how did the Soviets of that time build their engines. What was their strategy? What was their mode of operation? Soviets built engines and aircraft that could fly very fast in a straight line. Not a lot of maneuverability in the battle. But boy, they were quick. Our approach in our Air Force and our military's approach was, yes, speed, but new maneuverability in battle and air superiority. Today, there's a great deal of emphasis on unmanned aircraft that can go into battle using a joystick at great distances and maneuvering and taking pictures and providing munitions to win the battle in Pakistan or Afghanistan or Iraq or whatever. And wherever. And so I think the inevitability that we take for ourselves in this script, in this portion of the word, is that we will one day engage the opposition. There's opposition to God. There's opposition to His ways and what He wants in the conduct and the behaviors that people have within their lives. And when we engage the opposition, there will be resistance. It's inevitable that there will be resistance. reading of Afghanistan, how our soldiers are trying to clear out the Helmand province and to try and make it safer in the battlefields, and how they engage the enemy. And the battle can be fierce, and there can be loss. But in facing the opponent and the opposition, in what might seem to be endless battles and engagement, throughout the course of history, there have been battles won and battles lost. So let's think on the positive side. How will there be victory? Victory in Jesus Christ is ours because he engages the enemy for us. And the spiritual conflict, be strong in the Lord. Doesn't say, finally, my brethren, be strong in yourself. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You're not going to be able to do it alone. That's part of the strength that is found within the family. The strength in one another, the bond of, as it talks of in chapter 5, of husband and wife, and how they complement each other and work together for success and deployment of their life and working out of the course of time. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles mean there's deception, there's subterfuge, it's not obvious. Doesn't say this is exactly how I'm going to plan out my course of attack. Has to be discovered and has to be, you have to outflank him. In the course of battles of ancient times, they had to send spies out that they might understand what's taking place in the battlefield and try and discover what's going to happen and what the plan is. And so it tells us here, we are able to stand because of the armor that God gives us against these behaviors of the archenemy of the soul. The goal is to maintain those which are his and to now peel away those believers who are out on the fringes. Remember this picture that is given for us in the Gospel of John of the sheep and how the wolf or the lion or the bear of the time of ancient Palestine will pick out the one that's hanging out the fringe. It's awful hard to go into the middle of the sheepfold when the shepherd is right there, but you know, for those that are hanging out the outside, it's going to peel them away. That's where the damage is going to happen. The encouragement is to the believer to stay in the middle. Pull towards the middle. Work in the middle. Pull in those that are straggling out on the outside who are being damaged by life situations and their own personal immediate situation, and pull them in. Pull them towards the middle that they might be able to find the strength that there is in the numbers that is found among the believers. Be strong in the Lord, not in self. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, against something that is immediate and present, but those who work in the background, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes you can just feel that darkness when there are bad things going on. Avoid them. Take for yourself the person of Jesus Christ and the armor that he provides to us, that God provides to us, that we're able to stand up and not succumb to it. And he emphasizes in verse 13, because you're dealing against those things which are the subterfuge, the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness, take the whole armor of God, reflecting and repeating verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, take the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done to stand. Given to us through the Spirit because of the work of Jesus Christ. You know, movies depict what battles must have been like in ancient times. And the warrior that falls on the battlefield isn't any good. But the one that stands and fights is able to be successful. Falling off the horse wasn't a good thing. Falling down in battle against the enemy wasn't a good thing, because oftentimes it ended up in death and mortally being wounded. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand in the battle. Make good that the new life will fight this present darkness and the schemes of the enemy. Not going to be obvious. Sometimes we're surprised. We're given this enlightenment, spiritual enlightenment, of what's taking place in darkness. What seems to be so good is maybe not so good. Spiritual darkness in the heavenly places. Now look at the picture of this Roman soldier. And understand the resources that is yours, that is ours, and to be able to stand and face that in our daily lives and in our continuing walk of faith. Having done all to stand, and now verse 14 says, stand therefore. Now stand. Face the battle. Understand what you're dealing with. And have your loins girt about with truth, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Take this armor, stand firm, be resolute. Don't be part of the fall, and here are the resources that God gives to you through faith. Victory is ours through Jesus Christ, it tells us in Colossians 1:13. And when he says put on, he's emphasizing it is the believer's responsibility to put this on. Recognize the struggle against evil and put on this belt of truth. Don't compromise truth. Sometimes that is the easy solution, is to compromise truth. But put on this belt of truth, this breastplate of righteousness for protection. See, all these resources or all these gifts are given by him. The defenses speak of him. Our responsibility, put on therefore, given by him through the Spirit, that we might be able to stand and be successful. Protection from even the subtleties of unrighteousness. Sometimes there are very subtle differences. Allow it to play out and become more self-evident. Okay, that's really what the goal is. Okay, that's really what's trying to be promoted through this activity or through this organization or through these behaviors or whatever. You know, we make those evaluations in the course of our weekly activities. But stand therefore. Put upon this belt of truth. Cover yourself with the breastplate of righteousness in Jesus Christ. That's where it's to be found. That's where the resource is to be given. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It was awful difficult to go into battle without something on your feet. Step on a sword or whatever, and awful difficult to maneuver and to be victorious in the battle that was taking place. A Roman soldier had all this armament, breastplate and a belt and armor down their legs and on their shoes and a helmet and a sword and a spear and all of these tools that allowed the Roman Empire to maintain peace through their military might. Today, air superiority, technology superiority, and technology comes at a very significant price. There was always these pitched discussions in the hallways of our Congress of where do we spend our resources? How much is enough? What's adequate? this balancing act between providing for our population, the needs of our people, and providing for protection as well. I remember back in the 70s when I was in high school, the whole issue was, are we to maintain the role and be responsible to be the policeman of the world? With superpower status comes responsibility, but how can we balance that against the resources that we have as a nation? Yet peace is important. Protection is important. Caring for those who are without is important. How do you provide for that in the balance and the ebb and flow of time? There will always be those that stand against truth. There will always be those who stand against needs. There will always be those who want to usurp and stand against peace and cause trauma and cause dissension and cause conflict. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the peace that is ours through the Spirit that leads us in our walk of faith, and all hanging on the work of Jesus Christ. When I can have this mental picture, remembering some of the Sunday school material that having taught from and used, where you see this picture of the one who goes into battle. But to just have these, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel above all. Above all, most importantly, take the shield of faith, which with which you will be able to deflect or quench the fiery darts of the evil one or of the wicked. The shield of faith, an important, I mean, not all of these pieces are important, but above all, take this shield of faith. The emphasis of the New Testament teachings of Jesus Christ is that of faith. Faith in following Him, trusting what He teaches, trusting that He will define for us the ways and the course of our life, trusting that that faith will allow us to successfully navigate through troubled waters, successfully navigate through our life situations, successfully guided by the Spirit, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now see, the sword is the only offensive weapon that is spoken of here. The sword of the Spirit that speaks to us, that shows us, that directs us. Very important to protect our ability to think and to function. The helmet of salvation, protecting us so we are able to conduct and to carry out the course of our lives, along with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit provides for our thought life and for our spiritual senses. The Word of God being that means by which we can now go out and deal with what we're being confronted by. Key emphasis of the Reformation, key emphasis to us. It is close to you. The Word of God is close to you. It's not something distant. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is nigh unto you, it tells us in the Word. Ever present. Sometimes things might seem somewhat distant. It's not close to us, or we have relationships that, you know, might come and go, and so that relationship might seem distant at this point or this place in our lives, and some are closer, and that's part of just how things work out. But the Word is ever present, nigh, close to you. Not something that is ever intended to be, nor is it distant. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I always maintain this thought life, or this prayer attitude of concern that God would show to me in my life my individual life, your individual life, how it's to be carried out and how it is to be conducted and how it is to be played in that battle that we face every day. To me, a word that jumped out of the scripture this morning is perseverance. Doesn't say it's momentary. Doesn't say now it's on and now it's off, but it says persevere. Persevere. Work your way through it. Don't allow it to be you to be overcome by what life brings to you, but persevere. Make it through. Work it out. You know, the old adage during in athletic competitions, there's no pain, no gain. You always work through the pain. And the last thing someone is going to want to admit to the coach is that I'm hurting and I'm not going to be able to play. Does it hurt? No, it doesn't hurt. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to go out there and play. Persevere through the difficulty and through the pain that might be present or the circumstance that we're facing, and maintain course in the battle. In verses 19 and 20, Paul now is really thinking about himself personally as he thinks of all these armor. There probably was, you know, the jailer that's watching over him that has these pieces of armament that is watching him in his cell. And so he could probably look up, you know, through the hole that was his prison cell and, you know, okay, here's what he's got on. And now he tells, as for me, him personally, that I might have utterance, or that the words might be given to me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Kind of like concluding thoughts. A lot of times, waiting on conclusion, I say the following. This is kind of Paul's. In conclusion, may I be bold in my utterance and my sharing of the gospel. To that end, I might stay alert. Another translation tells us, I might stay alert. I might not become sleepy. I might not be reticent, but I might be forthright in what I am saying. You see, it's not self-centered, it's Christ-centered. The church is to be centered on the person and the work of Jesus Christ, and now we are led by the Spirit in the carrying out of the mission of the gospel and in being bold and preaching the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That I might be bold in opening my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that there I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul was the representative declaring the message. Here Paul's asking that he might be bold. Well, you know, I must say, of anyone that I can read of in Scripture, Paul was bold if anybody was. But see, here he's even saying, Lord, let me be bold in what I say and how I do and how I live out this gospel. I might be stuck in chains, an ambassador in bonds or in chains, but still may I speak boldly as I ought to speak. May I share that word with others as you would give to me that opportunity. That's the secret. Even within you, even within me, that mystery, as Paul characterized it, that is that we have that gospel, we have that word, we have the means of salvation to speak boldly, as even Paul reflects here. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, for the fellowship that we have with each other, the person of Jesus Christ that went to that cross and died but rose again for our justification, that we have received the earnest of the Spirit that leads us in the conduct of the everyday battle that we face. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, world without end. Amen.